Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this evening is taken from the first half of the gospel lesson, which has already been read. We'll go with the second half of the gospel lesson tomorrow morning. The young couple were excited. A few years ago, they had gotten engaged, and then they had gotten married, and then they moved into an apartment together, and they saved their money, and now they had together bought their first house. It's an exciting time, buying your first house. It was an older house, and it was a fixer-upper, and they were looking forward to fixing it up, and while you're young, that's fun. The former owner had died not too long before. She was known around town as being a little bit eccentric. You know, that eccentric old woman, the one who kept to herself. She had few friends and many cats. She was also said to be an investor. And some of the more reliable rumors had her possessing a great number of valuable assets. But when the will was read, it spoke of few assets, mostly the house, and that went to the estate, which was sold and bought by the young couple. On moving day, they moved their meager possessions into the house, and then for the first time did a thorough inspection of their new property, like you always do on moving day. The house had been pretty thoroughly cleaned out, save for some old furniture and a non-working television set in the attic. And what's that there? Oh, it's an old chest. Maybe there's a treasure in the chest, they thought. But when they opened the chest, they saw only some old and threadbare clothing. And that couple lived in that house for 50 years. And during those 50 years, they seldom ventured up into the attic. They never gave another thought to that old furniture, the non-working television, and the old chest with the old and threadbare clothing. And under that clothing, unbeknownst to them, about $5 million worth of stocks, bonds, silver coins, gold bars, diamonds, and other precious stones. You know, at first glance, it seems like a strange place for the word sign to make an appearance. As in, and this shall be a sign for you. A strange place indeed for that word sign to make an appearance. Stranger still, the identification of that sign, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. That will be the sign? In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Luke, the writer, the doctor, who introduces his book as a nonfiction work of history, firmly places these events into the context of the reign of the Roman Emperor Augustus, who was very famous and who was the first of the Roman emperors to call himself divine and who was worshipped as a god by loyal Roman citizens. And Luke also introduces some of the lesser knowns. A carpenter from Nazareth named Joseph, his wife Mary, and they had a child that was born in a stable in Bethlehem. And the child was wrapped in swaddling cloths. A swaddling cloth is not a furry blanket with puppies on it. A swaddling cloth is whatever rags or scraps of clothing you can get your hand on. That's swaddling cloths. And most of us have heard the story 100 times, and we kind of know where Luke is going with this, but the first readers of this book may well have been wondering why Luke isn't telling us more about the great Caesar Augustus, or at least about the governor Quirinius, and just who are these strangers named Joseph, Mary, and the child? And what's this? Now he wants to talk about some shepherds? wants to hear about shepherds. And the shepherds, Luke tells us, were out doing what shepherds do. They were out in the field keeping watch over their flocks at night. The shepherds had likely put the sheep into an enclosure for the night to be more easily guarded by them from the predators that were all around, wolves, lions, tigers, bears, and the most cunning and deadly of all predators, man. We will never know for sure, but likely the shepherds were doing something like playing cards, telling shepherd jokes, perhaps gambling. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were all filled with fear. Wow! It had been a long time since the glory of the Lord had made an appearance. It used to be a regular happening, this glory of the Lord. In fact, it used to dwell regularly in the temple, the glory of the Lord, at the Ark of the Covenant. But with the departure of the Ark, Ezekiel tells us, so departed the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord gone. But Ezekiel says that one day, the glory of the Lord will return. And so the glory of the Lord has been gone for several hundreds of years until now. And now it says the glory of the Lord appears to these shepherds in the field. And angels are often scary things, but here the shepherds don't appear to be nearly as scared of the angels as they are of the glory of the Lord, which must have been pretty scary. In fact, the glory of the Lord was the physical presence of God among his people. That's the glory of the Lord, the physical presence of God among his people. It had been in the temple, then it was gone, and now it's back. And just what does that mean that the glory of the Lord appeared? And the angel said to them, stop being afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which is to come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. A sign. Yeah, that seems like a really strange place for that word to make an appearance in the Bible. That word sign, the Greek word semaion, means a supernatural thing. A miracle, a thing that goes outside of the laws of nature. So what's so miraculous, supernatural, outside of the laws of nature about a newborn baby who's wrapped in swaddling clothes? Not a soft blanket with puppies on it. Whatever rags or scraps of clothes you get your hands on. Well, of course, buried within those swaddling cloths is one who is identified by the angel as Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. And there's your sign. There's your supernatural thing. There's your miracle. There's your thing done outside of the laws of nature. That little thing, that little baby dwelling in those swaddling cloths, is none other than Christ the Lord. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. That's what the angel had told Mary a little bit before this. And had told Mary, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. What the angel said to Mary was going to happen has happened. In a miraculous, supernatural, outside the laws of nature way, Mary conceived. And she has given birth to a child, and that child is the glory of the Lord, the physical presence of God among his people. And the sign will be this: you will see this glory of the Lord, the physical presence of God among his people, in those swaddling cloths, which is not a soft blanket with puppies on it, but whatever scraps of rag or cloth you could get your hands on. Yeah, huddled in those swaddling cloths was none other than the Son of God. Born of God, born of Mary. The presence of God among his people. The glory of the Lord is back. Sometimes God comes with fire and brimstone, in wind and storms, in plagues and sudden death, in parting of a sea. And sometimes he comes wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger, which is a sign for the shepherds. And his coming is good news of a great joy. And indeed, the good news is that God comes to his people to save his people from the hell that their sin brings to the heaven that comes with the forgiveness that he brings. And these days, the unchangeable God, how does that unchangeable God come to us these days? Well, these days, he seems to be more of a swaddling cloth kind of a God than the other fire and brimstone and those kinds of things. He comes to us these days in the waters of holy baptism. Water is a very simple and common thing. According to that History Channel show, big water, the most common substance on the face of the earth. Very common. But when the word is added to that common, it becomes very uncommon. In baptism, that simple water that is not simple water only is changed by the word of God into a miraculous, life-giving sacrament that washes away your sins, that gives to you a new birth. A very common thing, water does very big things when you add God's word to it. I myself am a common person. Most pastors are common people. And he comes to us in the pronouncement of the absolution, which is when we very common pastors say that we are to say that your sins are forgiven, and that your forgiveness absolution is to be regarded as being from Christ himself, because us common pastors stand in the stead of Christ. And we proclaim that forgiveness by the command of Jesus himself. And if other Christians want to get in on the action, go for it. Common people with a very uncommon and life-changing message of forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. That's how God comes to us. He comes to us in the preaching of his word. From this pulpit, which is a very common pulpit, in the classroom downstairs, in homes where parents teach the word to their children, common people teaching the word of God, God working through that word. And he comes to us also in, with, and under the bread and wine in the sacrament of the altar. This one who came in the sign of the common swaddling cloths, coming to us now in the very common bread and equally common wine, which when the word is added to them become the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the remission of your sins. So you might say that the glory of the Lord returned. The physical presence of God among his people at the time of Jesus and continuing to these days. And believe it or not, these things by which God comes to us with his physical presence actually go on. Most Sunday mornings, some of them every Sunday morning, right here. And in places like right here, but right here in Grand Mound, Iowa. If you're not careful, though, you might miss it. So the couple who bought the house, the one with that old chest in the attic, if they would have known what was in the old chest, what do you think they would have done? Amen. Peace of God which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.